Well, today we finish a three-sermon jaunt through the last three parables of Matthew, chapter 25, and actually the last three parables of the Gospel of Matthew. And it's been quite a jaunt, perhaps a joyful jaunt, or I don't know what sticks with you, but perhaps a judgmental jaunt. 3 weeks ago, five foolish virgins who get the door shut on them by the bridegroom. Last week, we talked about the servant with the $300,000 talent who gets punished by being thrown into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And today's text, where the goats are commanded to depart to eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yikes. I don't know how you feel about the judgment scenario text. I've spent the past 20 years imprinted upon by Keith Green, the 70s, 80s musician who did a song called The Sheep and the Goats in regards to today's text. He plays bright music for the sheep. And then when he talks about the goats, it's bum, 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 bum. Anyone know this song? Raise your hand, all you traumatized Matthew 25 interpreters. And then in the end of the song, Keith winds it up and just says, "The only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to the scripture, is what they did, dun, and didn't, dun, do, dun, dun, dun. And then he transitions into another song that ends, and Jesus rose from the grave. Dun, 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 dun. But you can't even get out of bed. Dun, 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 dun. Jesus rose from the dead. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, get out of your bed." And imagine me as a 19-year-old teenager trying to get back on track with his childhood faith journey, laying in bed on Saturday mornings, thinking, "Oh God, sorry, I'm so lazy. There's got to be more people out there that I need to tell about Jesus." Now, Keith Green did many other great songs that did change my life for the good. And there's even one in our hymnal, number 117. "There is a Redeemer." That beautiful song of worship and often done at communion services. So I'm not totally going to diss Keith. But last week I was trying to help us conjure up this imagination that said, yes, we believe in a generous, loving God. God's not mad at us. He's not standing in the corner with his arms folded, ready to beat us. He's not pursuing us with a message of shame. And so in the midst of this renewed image that I'm inviting you to, if you don't have that generous image of God, is there judgment? Yes, I said that last week. I'll say it again this week. Yes, God is a God of judgment. But it doesn't end there. And when we read the whole story of God, we read God is holy and just, and at different times he judges the people. And in today's text, this is the Son of Man coming in glory. This is the way that the story ends. And over the past several weeks, I've been inviting us to live in and out of the biblical story. It's a story of hope. It's a story of love. It's a story of God making all things new. Or you've put different phrases on it of what you believe the God story is. Now, today's text is God making all things new, and this is how it looks like at the end. And it makes us squirm and wiggle a bit, or maybe a lot, but we need not be afraid of this part of the story. The hope here is that we're not all going to hell in a handbasket, who some might say. The hope is also in this reality that we don't just magically make this earth better just because magically that's what happens. Frederick Buechner, the writer and Presbyterian theologian, puts it this way: The New Testament proclaims that at some unforeseeable time in the future, God will bring down the final curtain on history. And there will come a day on which all our days and all the judgments upon us and all our judgments upon each other will themselves be judged. The judge will be Christ. In other words, the one who judges us most finely will be the one who loves us most fully. I want to repeat that last sentence. The one who judges us most finely will be the one who loves us most fully. And I hope you can hang on to that phrase as you're meditating or reflecting on today's gospel text. The Christ you see is the Christ you get. The Christ who fills our imagination as we dwell in the biblical story is the Christ who loves us fully and thus is the only one who can judge fully when the story ends. Two more things to keep in mind as you're living with this parable today and maybe laying this story alongside your life and seeing what emerges. It's interesting to note in these last three parables that the characters in the story are always in before they're out. So whether it was the 10 virgins, they were in on the bride party. The three servants of last week, they were all servants of the master, given very generous, large gifts. And today, the sheep and the goats, they're with the shepherd. They're with the master. They're with the Son of Glory. They are in before they're out. And so the takeaway message of today's story, hopefully that lingers with you, is that Christ is everywhere. He's at the beginning of the story. He's at the end of the story. He's in all the chapters in between of the God story. And he's everywhere. So pay attention. It's also interesting to note that both the sheep and the goats are surprised. They both ask, "When did we see you?" And so God's story is a story of surprise. God's story is a story where Christ is all, he's in all, and he is everywhere. So as we wrestle with this judgment part of today's text and attempt to pay attention to what God would reveal to us, the whiff of judgment that I get here is that we will be judged on how we postured ourselves in the world. How readily were we able to see Christ in all people? And in that seeing, how do we or how did we respond? Will we see Christ in the king and the pauper? Will we see Christ in the most and the least? Will we see Christ in the proud and the humble? Now let's admit that it's hard to see Christ in everyone. And we don't always have a clear clue of how Christ shows up in everyone, but let's err on the side of love and grace as we look for Christ, even in the weeks that lay ahead. And Advent is a great season to see Christ, to allow Christ to be born anew in us, amongst us. So as we see Christ, what might be a helpful prayer is the prayer of St. Patrick, that Celtic prayer from the 400s. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. Christ, all in all, moving in the people of God here, moving in humanity, even as we move outside of this place this week and enter into our lives of vocation or school or work or play. And so you might say, well, Ryan, Christ and all, err on the side of grace, sounds good, but does anyone get departed to eternal fire? One of the great books that I went to, or good books that I went to this past week, was by N.T. Wright, who said in his book, Surprised by Hope, that we cannot therefore look to Jesus' teaching for any fresh detail on whether there really are some who finally reject God and, as it were, have that rejection ratified. All signs, of course, are that he went along with the normal first century Jewish perception. There would indeed be such people, with the only surprise being the surprise experienced by the sheep and goats alike at their fate and at the evidence on which it was based. He adds, there's great mystery here, and all our speaking about God's eventual future must make room for it. This is not at all to cast doubt on the reality of final judgment for those who have resolutely worshipped and served the idols that dehumanize us and deface God's world. It is to say that God is always the God of surprises. And so when I think about today's text in particular, and Jesus in the midst of his last week of life and talking to many, many people, his disciples, the crowds, believers, unbelievers, Pharisees, Sadducees, I think the closest ones who were becoming inhuman were the Pharisees. So we can talk more about this hell thing later. I'm happy to banter about it. But when I look around our congregation, I don't see and experience people who are not get out of their bedders day by day, trying to seek the peace and well-being of the city, trying to be a people of hope, a people of grace, a people of mercy. And that's why last week I said, if you're here joining the people of God, worshiping in this place, in what we're calling liturgical reperformance, as we prepare for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we co-bear Christ's name in the city, I hope we hear the Lord continuing to say, well done, good and faithful servants. But I might also add that after these three parables and all this wild stuff in Jesus' last three parables, Jesus is saying, pay attention. The Christ we see, the Christ we serve with acts of justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit is the Christ who will claim us and name us in the end. And so in a closing minute of silence, I want to invite you to pray or to reflect and to see how God is allowing you to see God or see Christ in these days. Last week I said the God you see is the God you get. This week I'm trying to hone it in on Christ more specifically. The Christ you see is the Christ you get. At our semi-annual meeting this past Thursday, when we were sharing around our tables, I encouraged us to reflect on where we see God. And people were responding by saying they see God in the face of the store clerk who serves and nurtures. They see God in the enthusiasm of teenagers. They see God in the global church, specifically some of the stories that we've already heard about the Bolivia Baptist churches. They see God in providence and blessing, grace and protection. We talked about seeing God in mentors and spiritual directors. We talked about seeing God in the caring of the poor, the broken amongst us, and our humble endeavors in outreach. We see God, we see Christ in these places. And as we move into the season of Advent, I'd invite you to allow Christ to be born anew in you, in us, as we enter this season of Advent. So 1 minute to close, and then I'll close with a prayer for Mother Teresa. Let's sit in silence and listen and pray together.